praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is not narrow sectarianism, but the body of Christ. Through his messages in these life studies, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. The first chapter of the book of Judges records the marvelous story of Judah and Caleb fighting against the Canaanites after the death of Joshua. Jehovah displayed again that he was with Israel and that they could trust him to fight with and for them against their enemies. But just as an unfaithful wife can forsake her husband, thereby damaging the marriage, Israel eventually forsook Jehovah. Listen to Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And the children of Israel did what was evil in the sight of Jehovah and served the Baals. And they forsook Jehovah, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who surrounded them. And they worshipped them and provoked Jehovah to anger. Then the anger of Jehovah burned against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of plunderers. And he sold them into the hand of their enemies around them. And they were no longer able to stand before their enemies. From this point on, the book of Judges becomes an ugly history of failure and humiliation for Israel as she turned from the purity and enjoyment of her days as a bride to Jehovah, becoming a harlot in his eyes. Bob Danker has joined us for this very sobering opening word from the life study of Judges. Bob, a couple of sentences in other Old Testament books really show us these two bookends in the history of Israel, being on the one hand a bride, on the other hand a harlot. I had a program with Dictator talking about seeing the divine romance in the entire scripture, and we talked about Jeremiah 2, verse 2. Thus says Jehovah, I remember concerning you the kindness of your youth, the love of your bridal days when you followed after me in the wilderness. And now that is counterbalanced by a word in Hosea. Jehovah said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of harlotries and children of harlotries, for the land is entirely given over to harlotry, and thus departs from Jehovah. So Israel, we can see, had the experience of both of these in her history, didn't she?
She sure did, Chris. She had a very marvelous beginning with God there at Mount Sinai, where God gave Israel the law. As we will see, this giving of the law was actually a marriage contract between God and his people. In God's concept, he always considers himself as the husband and his people as the wife. And so this shows the kind of relationship that all God's people should have with him, a relationship of love, of intimacy, of union, of absolute oneness, and of dependence on the part of the wife, taking God as the head, and as everything. This is the kind of relationship God seeks with man, with his people as a corporate wife to him. And this is portrayed not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. And then in the Old Testament, when Israel worshiped idols, God always considered this as a harlotry, a departing of his people from him, and a breaking of their marriage relationship.
Once we see this principle of God's relationship to Israel, his desire for that relationship to be one of a husband with a wife, and then Israel turning away, forsaking the husband to join herself to all of these other gods, in this case, as we see in Judges chapter 2, then the whole book of Judges and even much of the history of the Old Testament becomes much more clear and a lot easier to understand and relate to, doesn't it?
It really does. After Israel forsook God, then she became involved with so many other evil things. And so the history of Israel is a history of God's people turning from him as their husband to go after other men.
Yeah.
Now, these other men were the idols of the nations, the Gentile nations that surrounded the people of Israel. When this happened, Israel's relationship with God was broken, and the blessing of God's presence with them and all his benefits to them were absolutely lost. And this we can see through the history of the Old Testament. Eventually, God had to come in to discipline his people by allowing the Gentile nations to destroy Jerusalem, the temple, and carry them away to captivity.
And I think always when we approach a message like this, this passage of this portion of Scripture where this is unfolded, it is good for us as New Testament believers to realize we're not exempt from the potential of falling into the same kind of thing. Paul was very careful. He says, I betrothed you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 5, the well-known passage there that identifies the church now as the bride of Christ. So this parallel, this relationship, this romance continues in the New Testament economy as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Chris. This is a marvelous thing that God loves his people as a man loves a woman and takes her as his wife.
Wow. Well, let's join Witness Lee with the first portion today, Bob.
God at Mount Sinai married Israel. So in God's desire, he would stay with Israel as a husband to the wife. No doubt, he would expect very much that Israel would act to him as a wife. This point, I hope that you all could keep in your mind. And this helps you to understand the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God always, after Sinai, considered Israel as his wife. But see, I don't know why. It seems to me she didn't have much heart to be the wife of Jehovah. It was so easy for her to forget him and put him aside. So Samuel, in writing the history books, he put Judges after Joshua to show us what kind of wife Israel was to Jehovah. What kind of wife? A wife forgetting the husband and act herself according to her desire. So eventually she became an harlot. In Hosea chapter 1, we are told by Hosea, in the eyes of God up to that time, Israel as a wife to God was just a harlot. And she had the bread of love toward God, but after the marriage, she didn't behave like a wife so chaste to her husband. Rather, she acted so freely. She took this one as her husband. She took another one, another one, another one, full of husbands. Now, with Israel in Judges, full of husbands means what? Full of idols. Israel forsook God, the husband, and went to another man, another idol. Idol after idol after idol after idol. This corresponds with the New Testament. In Revelation chapter 17, the Bible presents us another great harlot. And she is the mother of so many harlots. This is the real situation today.
Bob, the book of Judges starts out quite marvelously. There's a wonderful account where Judah and Caleb go together and really have a marvelous victory in a portion of the land against the Canaanites. And it seems to have this good beginning, but then it takes this drastic turn, and this kind of harlotry is displayed by God's people. And now we see, as we mentioned a moment ago, in the New Testament, both sides are present there as well. On the one hand, we have this marvelous love relationship between the bride and the bridegroom in Ephesians 5. But in Revelation 17, this harlot is still a problem, isn't it?
That's right. There's a harlot there at the end of the Bible to portray the ultimate stage of God's people in their turning away from God. It is a sad part of the history of the church, that at the time when we are saved, we have this bridal love for the Lord. It's so simple. He is so wonderful, and so he's like a handsome man to us, so beautiful, so wonderful, and we love him. So we join ourselves to him, but after time goes on, if we don't maintain this loving relationship that we have with him and this living of a married life with him, that we began at our first moment of our salvation, then we slowly begin to drift away from him, and we love other things, things other than him. In a real sense, this is the same as what happened to Israel. They turned away from God to other husbands, so to speak.
Right.
We also could experience this, and maybe many times have experienced it, that we are distracted from God, from the Lord, by other things, and we turn away from him, not even intentionally so much, but we just find ourselves having other goals and other loves, and we are just in the same kind of condition as Israel. You know, in the first epistle to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2, the Lord said that they were very good in many things, right? But he said, I have one thing against you, that you have left
your first love. Wow.
Isn't that something?
Really.
So this is the beginning here in Judges of Israel's degradation. And also in Revelation, we see the same. The church's degradation starts when the believers who make up the church turn away from the Lord to pursue something other than the Lord, and they have relationship with something other than him. This is in principle the same thing as we see here in the beginning of the book of Judges.
I recall back to the life study of Exodus and this message showing that the event on Mount Sinai with the giving of the law was actually a marriage contract. And one of the high points in the whole ministry of Witness Lee, I think, was that message in Exodus. It was just incredible to see the law in that light and what it was really demonstrating of God's affection and love towards his people. But then their whole history through the wilderness demonstrated again and again in a way of a kind of a courtship going on between the God and the children of Israel, that he was there at every turn, supplying their every need in every way imaginable, being a real king to them, the real head to them, and the proper husband to them. Yet now we come back to Judges. We're going to see in this coming portion four different times in chapter 17, in chapter 18, chapter 19, in chapter 21, these same words are uttered all four places. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. And what an offense this had to be to Jehovah, who had surely demonstrated again and again that he really was the king to Israel and desired to be. And so this was a real offense to him, wasn't it, Bob?
It was a great offense for Israel to say there's no king among us. What an offense.
Really?
God is among them. He's
Absolutely.
Their king.
Let's go to Witness Lee, and then we'll get back and fellowship this point a bit.
In this book, one word has been repeated at least four or five times. That is, there was no king among Israel. Everybody does something which is right in his own eyes. No king. Is this true? No king? How could God's people say that they don't have a king?
Right.
Is not their God their king?
Amen.
In the principle of the Bible, what is the husband? This husband is the head of the marriage and the head of the family. As the head, the authority ordained by God is with him. Since he has authority, he has the kingship. In typology, God is the man. And God is the unique man. We all are famous because we all are the corporate wife to Christ. The church is the wife to Christ. God is our creator. God is our Lord. He should be our king. Israel, you did have God as your king. But why you say there's no king among Israel? To say this, it means that you have annulled God, making him nothing. As long as Israel, you admit that your God is your authority. He is your king. You know, after the judge in Samuel, the children of Israel, they asked God to set up a king for them. God was offended. God said, I am not your king. You are going to put me aside? That I set up another king? This is the biggest offense to God. I tell you, this was what took place in Judges. Here is a wife, put her husband aside. No king.
Bob, whether it's the Old Testament dispensation or the New, God desires, it seems, a relationship with his people that is unique on the earth, unlike any other earthly nation, earthly peoples. He really desires something very unique and very intimate. And Israel here just sort of cavalierly threw this aside, didn't they?
They did. Brother Lee made a comment in the first portion. He said, it seems that Israel just didn't have any interest in living together with God. Jehovah as a wife. They didn't have much interest in this.
Right.
And God was very interested in being their husband. He loved them. He brought them out of Egypt so that he could have this kind of relationship with them, to really make them his wife, and so that he would be their head, their king, and really everything to them. But they did not seem to have much interest in reciprocating in this relationship. In fact, their history shows that instead of being one with God and regarding God as their husband and as their head, they put him aside. They counted him as nothing in their eyes, saying to him, there's no king among us. And then in Samuel's day, saying, we want to be like the Gentile nations. Yeah. We want to have a man as our king.
Yeah, they all have kings.
They all had kings. We want to be like them. And this was absolutely against God's desire. God allowed this to happen, but he was not happy about it. And in fact, the first king that God appointed for them was not a good one, so that they would learn the lesson that it's not so good to have another king besides God himself.
There were, of course, some good kings, but very few. Actually, when you read the whole history of Israel and then the division between Israel and Judah, the number of good kings versus the heavy-handed sort of totalitarian ones was very few. And so that whole period of Israel's history was not what you would consider their glorious era at all, was it?
It really was not, Chris. And this all began, we have to be very impressed with this. This all began when Israel forsook God as her husband.
Hmm.
All this long period of up and down, eventually down to captivity took place all together because of this early forsaking.
Well, there's probably a lot of parallels there, maybe in our own experience as we look back over the years that we have walked with the Lord and some of the valleys that have resulted from perhaps us not having that same relationship with the Lord.
I really agree with this, Chris. I encourage everyone who listens to this broadcast to consider his own history with the Lord. And if you feel that you are away from the Lord, I just encourage you much to come back.
Let's go back to Witness Lee, Bob.
If you catch this principle, you could understand the book of Judges thoroughly. Israel, being a wife to God, became altogether a harlot. she doesn't recognize God's kingship. She doesn't recognize that God is her husband. Then they became horrid, and then they became so rotten, so corrupted. Judges is a book of history of rottenness. Only the first two pages, there is a story not so bad. That is the story of Judah, especially the story of Caleb. After that, every page is full of rottenness, corruption of a heart. No wonder in Judges there is such an ugly, stinking picture of the history, because this is the record of a heart. Israel forsook her husband, God Jehovah, and went to many idols. She picked up idols from Babylon. She picked idols from Egypt. She picked idols from all the nations. She got a lot of foreign husbands. Right? Have you got the intrinsic significance of this book?
Bob, it seems the Lord was quite specific with Israel not to take wives among these foreign nations and these inhabiting peoples. And the reason was, it seems that whenever they joined themselves to these foreign wives, they would end up absorbing their idols as well, and that becomes this corrupting element that led to the harlotry. Help us in the last couple of minutes that we have relate this to, we talked a little bit about the experience of us as believers in relating to Christ in such a proper way. How do these pictures enlighten or illuminate our own experience?
Well, Chris, I'm reminded of Paul's word in 2 Corinthians concerning the believers should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. When there is an unequal union of believers and unbelievers, there is a very great chance that the unbelieving part of this union will lead away the believer from the Lord. This is what happened to Israel. They were surrounded by the Gentile nations, and then they gave their sons and daughters in marriage to these nations, and eventually they were carried away to idolatry, the very idolatry that these nations practiced. Israel became as rotten and corrupt as these nations, perhaps worse.
Yeah,
it was a story not very pleasant. We really have to take this to heart. We have to join ourselves to the Lord, cleave to Him as our husband, loving Him, being one with Him all the time, and not being led away from Him to other husbands. Then we would avoid the pitfall that happened to Israel, and our history will be a glorious history.
As Dick Taylor pointed out in the program when we were talking on a similar subject near the end of Joshua, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us very clearly, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And that implies this spiritual union, very much in the type, in the shadow of the physical union of husband and wife. And really God desires and really demands, doesn't he, a purity, a chastity in his bride, in his wife. And I think all of us, I feel compelled now after such a word to really humble myself before the Lord. Let him shine and examine me in my life. What things have I let come in? I think we all can take something away very personal from a word like this, can't we?
I absolutely agree, Chris.
Well, it's sober, but at the same time, very healthy. And without this kind of shining, our growth is stunted and never quite normal. So we thank the Lord for this kind of word, and I appreciate your being here and a big help.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, our time is up. We, of course, invite you, as we always do, to contact us about getting the printed life study message. As he just said, we've just seen a key now to understanding this book of Judges. Actually, I think this whole section of the history of Israel becomes much more clear now, having seen this. So we hope you'll get the printed messages so that you can dig into it yourself in more depth. If you'd like to receive those or just contact us with your comments, please do so. Toll free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or by email, it's radio@lsm.org. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.